your attention to the Gospel of Mark, the 16th chapter, and the 3rd verse. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 16, and the 3rd verse. And they said among themselves, who shall roll up away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When we look at the various accounts given in the 4 Gospels with regard to the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find quite a variation of the accounts given. And some people are only too glad to take such an opportunity as this in their ignorance to say, well, it cannot be true because there's such a variation in the account given by the 4 evangelists. Well, if that be in the heart of any this afternoon, let me just say this. It would behove you and behove us each to look more closely to the 4 accounts given, because when they are put together, it is clear that not one contradicts the other at all. But it makes known to us the wondrous power of the Holy Spirit in that he gives these separate accounts of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might bring forth various aspects of it, knowing indeed our limitation. He that knoweth our frighten and remembereth that we are dust, hath he not in his infinite wisdom thus laid down in holy writ the various aspects of this wondrous event? And the most important event that has happened to man in all time is that Jesus Christ died upon the cross and rose again triumphant on the 3rd day according to his word. And again, and we find this, that some would chide the disciples and these women, these godly women, because of their unbelief of the scriptures and of what they have heard. Then I wish to God that there was as much zeal and in our own hearts and lives as was found in the hearts of the disciples, and the love that also that was displayed in the hearts and in the actions of these dear women. Friends, they rose at daybreak to do that which they were prevented from doing beforehand. They rose indeed to do that to him whom they loved, whom they had seen die upon the cross. He, who they undoubtedly saw die much quicker than ever they had anticipated. Our friends, and more than that, to be laid hurriedly in this tomb. And because it was the Sabbath, they were prevented from doing that before, which they were now about to do. Friends, never let us look upon the acts of these disciples and the acts of these dear women with scorn. But let it search our own heart and mind. Do we live in the same love and same devotion unto the Lord as they lived? Now the subject that was before them, that which they had uttered, who shall roll away the stone for us? Friends, this was a reality to them. They were already burdened. They were already stricken with grief and sorrow for him whom they had loved, with a love that had they never been compared to before. They were stricken with grief and sorrow for the him who had saved them from their sins was hidden from them at this time. And to all intents and purposes, he was dead, and they had seen him die. They had heard the scorn. They had heard the derision of the soldiers and of the priests and of the crowds upon their Lord and Master. They had seen him laid in the tomb. They'd seen Joseph of Arimathea roll the stone against the tomb. Therefore, it does clearly show to us that every action and all the accounts that are given to us of these women and the disciples was divinely coordinated, and everything happened according to the divine plan. And now let me just say this. This is the true experience of every child of God. Nothing happened according as they had thought. How often that was their lament, that they thought it would have been he who should have saved this nation. We thought it was he who would indeed have reigned here, and so on. Friends, but now they were on their way to the sepulchre, and they knew they had a stone against it which they could not move. Now, friends, some may chide them for their faith. There may be others pouring scorn upon your faith. But because the stone was upon the sepulchre, and they knew it to be so, that didn't prevent them from coming. Who shall roll away the stone for us? They must come. And where were they coming to? They were coming to that place where they had seen Jesus lay. And in their mind, they were coming to pay their respect and do that which they could to him who had died upon Calvary. Friends, I believe there was grace. I believe there was love in every step that they took. I believe there was godly faith and zeal that brought them there. and those things that they were to be confronted with, as they had supposed, were realities to them. And those things that are realities to you, they are like that stone that cannot be removed by you. But for divine life, and for indeed for comfort, and for the salvation of your soul, they must be removed, sealed, and shut up in the tomb. Who shall roll away the stone? Well, we did read in the Gospel of Matthew how the stone was rolled away. We read of an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord rolled away the stone. Now let me just say this, that not only did it was an earthquake and the stone rolled away, and that now access was given to the tomb, but also we find this, that which they didn't and had not anticipated, that indeed which they didn't knew nothing of, also was removed from them. Now can you see this? That the Lord is with you, that the Lord has gone before you. Why? Because the day afterwards, the Pharisees and the chief priests had besought of Pilate that there should be a watch of soldiers upon that tomb. And we might say this, perhaps they would never have thought of coming had they thought known those soldiers were there. And you might say this, and had I known this or that, then I should certainly never have come. All the infinite wisdom of Almighty God from hiding these things from our sight. And yet, the balanced judgment of Almighty God in revealing a certain amount to us, again showing us and telling us of His infinite knowledge of us individually, of how much we can bear and how much we can endure. For then, the Lord not only removes that which indeed is a great mountain to us, but He also removes that which indeed would have been a severe instrument and against us, able to have approached unto the Lord Jesus Christ, unto His tomb, who shall roll away the stone for us. But there is another thing here I desire to speak of. Not only did the Lord roll away the stone for His dear people, but He indeed rolled away the stone that grievous sorrow and grief might be overcome. For they were grief-stricken, they were full of sorrow. Our friends, what sorrow there is in our heart and soul if the Lord convicts us of our sins, shows us our depravity, and we see here that our sins, which are many, have nailed Him, the dear Redeemer, the Son of God, to the cross. Friend, one might say, why? That all you want to know, friend, to have slain the Lord glorious is an outrageous sin. To be guilty of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, why surely that sets the seal of eternal damnation upon us. Oh, what a stone that is. when the Lord brings home our own vileness and our own guiltiness before him. Who shall draw away this stone? When we are brought to that place to say, it's not our people that are sinners that I am concerned about, it's my sin. It's not indeed pouring condemnation and guilt upon others. It's my guilt and the condemnation that poured upon me. Our friends, what sorrow that fills our hearts. And who shall roll away the stone for us? This is a mercy that the stone is rolled away from his people. That stone that was shut up and has sealed damnation upon us eternally is rolled away, and none other than by Almighty God. And even the forces of the Roman Empire, even all the forces of all empires united through the whole history of mankind, could not prevail and could not prevent the Lord Jesus Christ rising again from the tomb, as he had declared. Who shall roll away the stone for us? Then, friends, if the stone is rolled away from us, it indicates and shows us this, that it is he that has died upon Calvary for sin, but it is he also that has risen again from the dead. Then, what power is made known in this? Who but the Son of God could have ever said that with regard to himself, he said, destroy this temple and I will build it again in 3 days. Who indeed could say that I lay down my life for the sheep and I have power to do it? Then one might indeed have power with the power of love to forfeit their life for another. But to be able to say they have power to take it again, I need to raise them also from the dead, and indeed to intercede for their offences, it would be an absolute impossibility. And indeed, on this basis, we do not are not surprised at the scorn and derision that the ignorant poured along upon the dear Redeemer. But who shall roll away the stone for us? Why, verily him who died upon Calvary, verily the Son of God, he indeed who has such power, yet he who has said, because I live, ye shall live also. Friend, what a stone that is upon us. When we have the stone of death and the seal of death laid upon us, it may be mentally, it may be spiritually, it may be physically. Yes, you say, this indeed I cannot get out of. This thing indeed prevents me from coming to the Lord. This indeed is a reality to me. It seems to add sorrow to sorrow. Oh yes, sorrow to sorrow. Who shall roll away the stone for us? Then that which prevents, when it removes, it does not, that cannot add that sorrow to sorrow as it had before. And neither can that sorrow abound as it had before. Because, friends, we find this, it was not a dead Lord. It was not just evangelization, not to those, but friend, one who's laid down his life for his people. Oh, friend, how beautiful it is of the work of the Spirit in the soul, when he gives that living faith in the soul to believe. He rolled away the stone of unbelief from our hearts. There may be one who has come into the sanctuary this afternoon who said this: I believe there's a way of salvation. I believe there's a way of salvation for the vilest of sinners, but not for me. But not for me. You say, why? Because I have this stone that has been rolled upon the sepulchre. I have this stone that not only keeps my Lord in, but also keeps me out. Have you know that experience? Do you know that from far? You say, why is this stone? Why? Because you say, I believe the Lord hears and answers the prayers of the Lord's people, but he doesn't hear and answer mine. Our friend, who shall roll away the stone? Where are you looking to? And indeed, who can prevent you from coming? Because that stone is so heavy and so weighty upon you. Because deliverance appears to be an absolute impossible to you. Thus it would present to you not a living Lord, but a dead Lord. It would indeed seem to soak up not that spirit of unbelief, as some men would call it, but rather the spirit of doubt and fear. I do indeed ever seek to set forth that the great difference between that damnable unbelief and that which is of doubt and fear that indeed kindles in the heart of the Lord's people. I tell you, you'll know this difference, though you may indeed fear that it is unbelief, and therefore you are not a child of God. I ask you, where do these doubts and where do these fears bring you? Do they keep you in your bedside? Do they keep you in a state of hardness and indifference to the Lord and what he has commanded? Do they keep you shut up in your homes, whereby you can live without God, without the Word of God, without the seeking of his face, whether he be dead or whether he be alive to you? You say, no. There is this preparation that we bring unto the Lord. There is indeed that which is of a sweet savour that we would anoint him with. Then, what is the sweet savour of anointing of his people, of the Lord, his fine people? What is acceptable in his sight? Oh, friends, the Lord makes it very clear to us in the prophecy of Isaiah. It is why he that has done all these things is as one that has cut off a dog's neck and offered it to men, or as if one who had offered the swine's blood, then formality will not suffice with the Lord. But what will suffice with the Lord, and what will he accept at our hand? Nothing but living reality. That is the blessed work of the Spirit in the soul. For he said, to this man will I look, even unto him who's a broken heart, the contrite spirit, and the trembling at my word. let it be in England. Here you see that the sweet preparation of the heart, and so that which the dear woman brought to anoint the Lord with, I see clearly to be the work of the Holy Spirit within. Therefore, whatever caused you to speed and grind your way to the Lord has been indeed the blood and blessed work of the Spirit in your soul. And you know, you can't put it there, and neither can you take it out and be thankful for that. Because who shall roll away the stone for us? Oh, the same God that put that in your heart to come for him. He that put it in your heart to roll out your burden upon him and to pour out your whole care upon him and all your desires. Friend, who shall roll away the stone for us? How many of the Lord's people have seen the promises of salvation sealed and shut up, and have already thought this? Well, surely my whole profession is nothing but a festering heap of hypocrisy. And so indeed, as Satan would make it to appear so before you. And you say, unless that stone is moved away, then my case is hopeless. Then you say, but I cannot bear this thought and this burden. Oh, to be shut out and shut away from my Lord. What an indication, I say, that you are a child of God, that so is the love and the impulse of divine affection working in your soul, that you have to come. You have to come, sinner. How? As you are. What time of day do you come? Is that the first movement, the first possible moment? For such is my case, and such is my need. Friend, you consider it. They all had died. Their whole life, him who delivered them, him who showed such affection to them, he out of whom seven devils was cast. You might say there's more than that in my heart. Ah, blessings he and I. If the Lord has brought you to him in that spirit, Lord, roll away the stone for us. Who shall roll away the stone? That question they were unable to answer at that particular moment. And indeed, you might say this, and who shall roll away the stone for us or for me at this particular time? I just cannot answer that question, you might say. But what do you expect in the rolling away of the stone? Your name is a deep which we desire to look into. They anticipated nothing more than to be viewed a dead Lord. They would indeed account things a privilege even to have anointed his body with those odors of sweet ointment. But, friend, they had more than that. Why, indeed, in fact, there was a rich reception amongst them with regard to the removal of his body from the tomb. We find one as weeping bitterly because they had taken her Lord away, and she didn't know where they had laid bread, the stone was forever removed, ever removed. He could die no more, but he could live. So, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him. I ask you the question, if you should be in consultation with your spirit and soul with the Lord, do you verily think you would know him? Some would say, of course I would, but friends, Mary didn't. Not until it pleased the Lord to reveal himself unto her. We do need to remember that point. So therefore, your sweet conversation, thy access to him, though he might, may not be revealed to you, is just as real. And it's very true that the stone is removed away, and that he indeed has removed this weight, this obstacle from you, and that it shall nevermore return. That's the blessing of it. It shall nevermore return. But when indeed he says Mary, and in a word, doth reveal himself to the poor sinner, oh, what a sweetness there is that the stone is rolled away, and that not only it is rolled away, but he is no more dead, but he is living, and not only living, he lives to die no more. Therefore, that weight and that authority of the dear Lord Jesus Christ comes home very clearly here. Because I live, ye live also. Oh, that stone of death that lays upon so many. You say, why, that is a great matter with me, because it will be decisive. It is a matter. Once we go past that point, there can be no return. There can be no coming back. No. Who shall roll away the stone, the great stone, the great fear of death? My dear late deacon, Mr. Pottinger, he had such a great fear of death, and it was for him a great stone, and he verily didn't know how he could face it, and the adversary got at him so much that he verily felt he couldn't be a child of God until he was brought to Christ to defend, to remove this weight, to remove this stone from off him. And friends, the Lord did in a most remarkable way, because one night, 18 months before he died, the Lord gave him such a vision of himself, the heavenly angel, and in his vision he heard the heavenly music flowing into his soul, and it was so real to him that he actually got out of bed and he opened the window and looked out to see if it was so. By that time, he might say, he was out of the vision. And you know, from that point onwards, he said he never feared a death again. The stone, that fear, was removed. I don't know why I say this, but it may be to the encouragement of some souls here this afternoon. Because we are beset with such realistic fears, that does not mean to say we are not children of God. And because there are such realistic fears that we cannot lift off ourselves, friends, as much as the Lord was able to remove the stone for the dear woman, so he is able to remove that stone of fear and dread from our hearts, even as he removed it from the heart of our dear friend I have spoken of. Who shall roll away the stone for us? Friend, I like it in that sense also, that it is in the plural. It wasn't just the burden and the concern of one, but it was the concern of that said party as they set off early in the morning to the sepulchre. There's a union in it, and although there's such a union in it, all their strength combined, they couldn't roll away the stone. And so, it might be so within your family, it may be within your church, there may be those you walk sadly together with, you groan together with, day by day, and you say, who shall roll away the stone? Friends, oh, before they got there, I like that point, before they really come to it, or as they were coming, it appears that that stone was rolled away. And those indeed who stood there to enforce that that stone should remain there and sealed as the priest had left it the day previous. Friends, with all their power and authority, it was rolled away. Oh, but there's such a sweetness then in the coming unto the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And again, this is lifting up of our fears. Though they are united fears, I believe there's such a thing as bearing one another's burdens and an understanding of one another's case and a condition. What a mercy that is to find a few fellow labourers in Zion who come in such a way as this. And you can say, who shall roll away the stone for us? My point is this. Their troubles, the sanctified, are blessed troubles. They may be sanctified in this way first. They give you a bond. They give you, bring you into allegiance with others who had never been brought into bonds with them before. Perhaps indeed, though you might have lived so closely together, you've never been able to enter into spiritual things before. Friends, it's a mercy that when these things are sanctified to us, when you can say together, who shall roll away the stone for us? Our friends, us. And you see, it never stops to be boasted. It makes manifest the work of the Spirit and not of the flesh. Because if it wasn't one that said, I will show you, I can do this for you, I know exactly what to do, I am so excellent in prayer, I'm so professional in my faith, I'm so ardent in my reading of the Word of God, I know exactly what to do. Friends, not so. They were on one plane together, seeking, pursuing, continuing, coming under the Lord. Oh, their faith, blow brought blow, it wasn't there. Oh, how blessed and favoured they were in their pursuing. Isn't there indeed a cause of encouragement for us to lift up our hearts, indeed to lift up our eyes unto him. Lord, thou hast removed stones before. Thou hast caused the unseen adversary to flee. Those indeed are determined to enforce that which to prevent us and to prevent that which is right and true. Lord, thou canst roll away the stone. Ah, blessed is the man, is he not able to roll away your stone? Now, just coming to the amen, let us view this from another viewpoint. And it's this, as the hymn writer put it, with my burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin, personal sin, the conviction of sin within, that perhaps is the greatest stone and the greatest obstacle of all. If you knew exactly what I am and what I feel myself to be, you'd have nothing to do with me. I often feel that with regard to the Lord's people. But you know, who can roll away the stone? It is a faithful sign and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Friends, we can never hope the stone to be rolled away unless we know we are chief. We often indeed pursue the line of preaching amongst us that if those who plead for mercy, they will surely be saved. That is very true. But do you know what it is to plead for mercy? And there to feel the stone upon your Lord and Master, and him alone who can save you, and who can indeed deliver you from all your sins. Ah, friends, I see here the genuine seal of pleading for mercy. That being I quoted in prayer, is this, you know, we'll never plead for mercy as is acceptable in the sight of God unless we are first brought to plead guilty before the Lord. Because it is an absolute mockery and a muddle of words for us to say, I plead for mercy, but I'm not quite the sinner that the preacher paints me to be. And if you say, I am worse than that. But when you are brought to say, Lord, I am the guilty party, I am the person, I am the one that has sinned, and I am guilty, and therefore we cannot indeed contribute anything to our salvation. Friend, here's one that needs mercy. And then what I mean, I say, we'll never plead for mercy unless we know what it is to really plead guilty at first before the Lord. Then indeed, isn't the stone rolled away? What a different approach to the sepulchre. What a different approach to the cross of Christ. Oh, when we really know the power of regeneration, not just the power of reform, as many have it, but real power of regeneration. Even as the dear thief on the cross knew it to be, when he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Why before he was saying with his fellows, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us too, and let that we come down off the cross. He didn't want to die, He wanted his paradise here below. But friend, when indeed the stone was rolled away, the truth was revealed to him, why he didn't want to live here below. He wanted to live above. He wanted heaven to be his paradise. He wanted Jesus to be his home. He wanted indeed to be with him forevermore. And therefore he was brought to that place. Remember me when thou comest.